Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome back to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercer Spirituality Center in Epsom. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation, and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, or about social justice. Today, my visitor is Cecily Mantel. Haere mai, welcome.
Kia ora.
Cecily is Te Kai Kokiri, the manager of Te Ukaipō, Mercy Initiatives for Rangitahi. She is of Maori and Canadian descent and has affiliations to Panguru, which is about 5 hours north of Auckland. Mm. She enjoys new projects and is not afraid of changes. Changes are for her an important part of growth. Cecily, your background of being Maori French Canadian with family from Panguru connects you very well to the history of the Catholic Church in New Zealand. Panguru is not far away from Totara Point, where the first Catholic Mass on New Zealand ground was celebrated in 1838.
Yes, yes.
Your father, being of French descent, connects you to Bishop Pompalier, the first bishop in New Zealand, the first Catholic bishop in New Zealand. Was it this kind of background that drew you closer to a Catholic organization that is working with whānau in Auckland?
Well, I'd have to say it's probably more my growing up in the Catholic Church. I attended St. Benedict's College up in Simon Street, and I started there as a new entrant and right through to sixth form. So I've been pretty well indoctrinated into the Catholic Church. And then when I was a young teenager, I married quite young, but my mother-in-law, very much a very strict Catholic, and she was one of the founders of the Citizens Advice Bureau.
Oh, really?
Yes, in Avondale. So I found myself I think I must have been about 16 or 17, going off with her and delivering food parcels and, you know, always doing something and helping and assisting people. So
being a part of the community,
yes,
really.
Yes, yes, yes.
And now you're the manager of the Te Ukaipō, Mercy Initiatives for Rangitahi. What does Te Ukaipō mean, and who are the Rangitahi?
Ah, well, Te Ukaipō, there's a lot of meanings to it. If we look at the word Te U, the U meaning the breast meaning nurture. Kai, we all know kai is about food that we eat, but it goes deeper than that. It's the sustenance, so it's the wairua, it's the physical, it's all of that that gives one sustenance to get through the dark. So the pō is the dark. So it's that whole nurturing and getting healing to make it through the night. But the other part of Te Ukaipō, which is really important, is when you go onto a marae and you'll hear Te Ukaipō all the time. And that's about that whole sense of belonging, that when you pass through, that your spirit will go back to your belonging before it leaves. So Te Ukaipō is a very special thing. And I think in our little centre, it is a nurturing place to inspire people for change. But it's also finding a sense of who you are and a purpose in your life.
That's good. So you said it's nurturing and it's inspiring, and Te Ukaipō is like a real home. Is that a very in a deeper sense? And as you said, it contains the word kai, the Maori word for food. And pō, which is the darkness, but it's also the night. Is that meant in a symbolic way, like you explained it, or is it also in a practical way that you provide accommodation, for example?
Oh, okay. It's more in a symbolic way, like it's a place that you can come to. It's a, we would like to think it's a safe haven. Where people, when and our young people can come to and just rest and have a shoulder to lean on and to find information to help them find a pathway that's going to give them a better lifestyle.
The full name of your organization is Te O Kai Po Mercy Initiatives for Rangitahi Limited. What was the reasons why the Sisters of Mercy established this initiative in 2001?
Right, well, initially, and that was before I came into Te O Kai Po, it used to be called Mercy Initiatives for Neighborhood Kids. And it wasn't a trust as such, but I believe there was a group of nuns headed by one of my favourite nuns, which is Sister Mary Foy, and a discussion with a cup of tea ended up in establishing the trust Te O Kai Po.
A cup of tea is very symbolic for the Mercy Sisters.
Very symbolic, yes. And it came out of that because the response was there were so many youth at risk. So rangatahi is our youth. And so therefore Te O Kai Po was a place to come. You could rest your head, find some solutions for young people. But I must admit, though, although it is about rangatahi, it is also inclusive of the people that rangatahi bring. So if it's their whānau, we serve the whānau as well.
So rangatahi are the young people?
Yes, they are.
Okay. So for those of you who've just tuned in, we have Cecily Mantel here, and she is the manager of Te O Kai Po Mercy Initiatives for Rangitahi, which used to be called Mercy Initiatives of Neighborhood Kids. And the founders, or the one who established this with a cup of tea in a discussion, was Sister Mary Foy, Mercy Sister. And the name Te O Kai Po was chosen because of meaning a sustenance, the physical way, a healing through the night or through the darkness, and gives young people, rangatahi, a sense of belonging, a nurturing place to inspire for positive growth,
yes.
A safe haven. Cecily, Te O Kai Po provides community-based support. You already said something about your involvement in the community at a very young age.
Yes.
And it's this kind of support for low-income families and young people living at risk situations. Do these families and young people have to be Māori in order to be supported by Te O Kai Po?
Oh, no, not at all. We welcome anyone to our place. There's no criteria that you have to be Māori at all. And we actually have different nationalities that come through. And that's been a really lovely part of it, meeting other people, enjoying other people's cultures,
yes.
Getting to know each other, and looking at how we can support each other in our little community.
So you have a lot of sharing.
Yes, we do.
And you are based in Massey, and you offer services in Rānui, Massey, and the surrounding areas in West Auckland.
Yes.
Do you also get requests from other parts of the city, or even from beyond the city boundaries?
Yes, we do. We actually even get requests outside of our Waitakere region. But I just must let you know, we're in Massey.
Yes.
But we've been really grateful that we've actually have a new place which is in right in the heart of Rānui.
Yeah.
So we're based in Rānui, but we work Rānui and Massey. Yes, no, but back to what you said, yes, people from even outside of our region come and ask us if we'd come out and do things. We're quite renowned out there for 3-on-3 basketball, and my youth worker, he's in the New Zealand national 3-on-3 team, so he's off to the Philippines next month.
So he's
one of those popular ones that we always getting asked requests, could he come out and do some work with some youth. We find using sport is a wonderful way of anti-bullying, encountering things like that, and it's been really beneficial in our little area.
So you really inspire others.
Yes.
And your staff is certainly core initiator or motivator for fairness. And I think that's something that has to do with a sport, also where children, young people can learn about fairness in the sports, where you have a referee who says, that's enough, there, give the other one a chance, or you are above the rules.
Yes, yes, definitely, yeah. Definitely. In our 3-on-3 basketball, some of the things that we do in there, we have sports clinics, so it teaches young people the different techniques of basketball, but also the values, and I think that's what you're meaning.
Yes.
So it is about the fair play. And it's also about being making the right decisions, because when you're playing the game, it's either black or white.
Mm-hmm.
So we always talk with that with our young people, because it's like life. You have to make a decision and you have to make it. There's no grey.
Yes.
So it's either the right one or the wrong one, and you've got to make it quickly. So we kind of use this as a wonderful way of getting young people to make decisions, because some of them are so passive they won't.
Yes.
But they'd be put in positions where they have to.
And the vision, Te O Kaipo's vision is Whakamana Mai. That's empowerment of rangatahi and whānau.
Mm.
Could you tell me more about the empowerment you're aiming for, and have you had any positive results yet? Well, part of it is certainly with the sports.
Yes, yes. Well, with the empowerment, I'd probably just like to talk about my social worker, because she's a wonderful way of how she empowers people, mm-hmm. young people and families. And really that's through discussions with people, the plans that she comes up with, you can see that they no longer are her plans but become theirs.
Okay.
And so they're driving it.
So she's really listening, and she's helping them to find their own way without her telling the others what to do.
Yes, yes. She has this amazing way of being able to turn things around.
Mm-hmm.
So the young person or the family take that up, and then all of a sudden she's no longer in that driving seat, and that's where she doesn't want to be.
Yes.
And they're driving it. So then she's just facilitating the plan to happen with them. And you know, we have a family that she's worked with who had 9 children, this solo mum. And she would be too scared to even ring up agencies like WINS and find things out, because she had so many children that she felt quite shamed about her situation.
Yeah.
And you know, my social worker that we're talking about is only a young woman herself, who hasn't even started her journey of being a mum. But she just has that wonderful quality of talking and talking, coaching,
yes.
mentoring, demonstrating by her actions.
Yes.
So there's been a big change, because when Natalie was involved with this particular family, Natalie would do a whole lot of the base work. But now what's happened, Mum will ring Natalie and say, look, I've rung up, I've made an appointment,
yes.
and I've discussed this, and I was just wondering if you'll come with me. So she's really, you know, she's the coach. She's really done all of that amazing groundwork, and now she's all that coaching and mentoring's paid off. It's wonderful to see this mum take control and see that whole empowerment that's happened.
So she's been going with the mum.
She's gone with the mum, and but it's not Natalie doing all the talking.
It's just that support person. That
yes, and I think the coaching and the mentoring and the giving the one-on-one,
yes.
is certainly is probably the best that someone can have, because in today's society there's so many people, and you become a number, and you feel like you're just a sheep going through, whereas being able to have that one-to-one and feeling valued and feeling that it's not shameful that these things have happened in your life. So it's been really good, and to see that mum grow is amazing.
Yeah, and I think it's great that you're a staff member, that she's helping that way.
Yes.
Because
yes.
I think even if she's just sitting quietly next to this mom, then the mom would be less nervous, because if she misses a point of what the WINS officer says, then your staff member will remember and will explain to her afterwards, and she doesn't have to ask questions that she's embarrassed to ask.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What a great idea. Mm. And what do you see as the main challenges that young people who or families who come and seek your support are faced with today?
Oh, well, in our little area of Rānui, we actually have a lot of challenges. 30% of our population are youth. And
what do you classify as youth? What age group?
We classify that from about, well, I guess from what we work with is probably from, well, we've even had toddlers. I was going to say five, but then I'm just thinking of another family that's come through, and their youngest would have been about three. But really, I guess realistically, say from three till about 26.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mind you, we have met some older young people. They're in their 30s and they've kind of really...
So what are their main challenges?
Their main challenges, one, housing is a huge one in Rānui. We have overcrowding, something terrible in Rānui. It's nothing to see 20, 25 people living in a three-bedroom home.
20 people?
Yes, yes. Rents have become so expensive that people no longer can sustain paying rent for themselves in a home, so they move in with other family members or friends to get by. But, I mean, it causes so much overcrowding, health issues that come out of that.
Yes.
We have a lot of drugs, unfortunately, domestic violence. They're all faced with that. It's quite prevalent out there. So, and bullying is shocking. I mean, we see a lot of that.
Yes.
And I guess, you know, that's something that's handed down to young people. So we really do a lot around in the schools to do programs and work with families so that we can counter a lot of the bullying.
So how do you approach these problems? Because I think if it's overcrowding, maybe you attract the young people to go out and to do something in a group? Is that something that you are doing? Or just to get them out of the house, that they are not there the whole day?
Yes. Well, what we do is when a young person comes into our service, we actually sit down and we really talk everything through with them to get a good idea where things are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just look at what pathways can we offer. For some young people, they've been at home, then they're not on a benefit or anything, so there's more stress in the family because the family are trying to cope, and there's not enough food to go around. So for some young people, it's being able to direct them and work with them to get their CVs together.
Yes.
So that they can be eligible for a benefit. For some people, young people, it's about finding what they really like doing, because then they'll be more encouraged to go and do something along that line. It's better than saying, oh, we can offer you this or we can do this. They're not going to do it. So what we look at is their strengths.
Yes.
And then from that, look at either work experience that we can work them into employment.
Yes.
So we do that. Look around in our neighbourhood and outer neighbourhood to see what is available.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the things we do. Sometimes it's about bridging the gap between themselves and parents, because they're at that stage in their life where they think that they know everything and their parents know nothing. And the gap just widens and widens. And unfortunately, yeah, if there are outside influences that are not good, that will even impact terribly on it. So we've done some work, even in our team. We really work across. So at Te Ukaipo, we have an environmentalist, we have a youth worker, a social worker, and we have an administrator. But everybody works across the board. So when we've worked with a family, for instance, and if it's a family breakdown, even our environmentalist has been the person that's actually worked with the family, mm-hmm. and our youth workers worked with the youth, and we've actually managed to bridge the gap between the two of them, but bring the family back.
So you already, with your team, you already give an example of how to work together very
yes,
well.
Yes,
that's
yes,
great.
Yes.
And Te Okai, let me know, how do people know about you? Is it word of mouth?
Word of mouth is the biggest. Yes, word of mouth through the schools, some of our local agencies, WINS, Citizens Advice Bureau, our community police, We get people from them. They'll either bring people to us or people would have heard from other people and they just come in. So.
And Te Okai Pō promotes personal, whānau and community well-being. That's what I understand.
Yes.
And at the same time, they follow practices that take care of Papatūānuku.
Mm.
So our Mother Earth. You already mentioned that you have an environmentalist.
Yes.
That's amazing. Mm. Can you give us some examples of what kind of programs you're offering?
Right. Well, we work along the streams in Rānui. We do Swanson and Rānui streams as well as Parimuka. And we're right in the middle of planting. So we, on the average, I think we plant about 3,000 plants through the season.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that with the volunteers through schools, through residents that live around the reserves.
Yes.
And just from some of the organisations. So we have some disability people that come in and help. So we run a whole lot of things. So in terms of our stream stuff, we also run educational programs. So it gives people that come along a good, like, it gives them a good history of the area, plus also the different plants and what the medicinal purposes are for those plants.
Mm-hmm.
What we try and do is instill in people that they are the caretakers of our environment, of our earth community, and unless we look after that, we'll lose that. So in Waitakere, there's been a big turnaround in a lot of the streams, and streams that were dying have now come back.
Yeah.
So that's been through this whole program, which is funded through the council. And it's, you know, Waitakere is a beautiful area with beautiful ranges and streams, so it's lovely to see that happen.
Yes.
With some of our young people that are involved in the streams, we take them out kayaking because some of those streams are quite big. And they love going out on the kayaks. And it's really good for them because they can see all the rubbish that's been dumped in our streams. I never believed it until I saw it for myself. So there are things like tires, couches, mattresses,
really?
Shopping carts, and they all, when we have weather like this and it's really stormy, it all goes down and then it hits the grate, but it's, you know, it causes so much. But our young people, they just have so much energy. They just go out there and you see them come back with a couple of tires on their kayak, and
so they clean up. But they do. They go kayaking, and at the same time, they do something good for the environment,
yes,
and
yes,
they clean up.
Yes.
Great.
And they're always asking, "When are we going out again?" and that's good, because the thing about it is, I think those young people that have seen it and been part of that, they as an adult, I'm sure they won't be throwing rubbish in the streams, because they can see through it. You know, they can see what the devastation it causes.
So it's about protection of the environment.
Absolutely.
What about gardening? Do you also have gardening projects or teaching how to use vegetables or whatever?
Yes, well, we've actually just completed a horticulture course.
Oh.
So we've had a number of people that have come through, and some of them have been successful moving on and becoming employed.
Yes.
And most of them now have a national certificate in horticulture. So that's been really beneficial, because it's been about the gardening and selling seeds and selling vegetables. And we want to see having another one of these, because we had really good feedback from the people that came on board.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it opens the door for setting up these things in people's homes, and then going to everyone's home to, yeah. to work it together. That's something that we've been talking about.
Can you, I really appreciate what you're doing. It's great. And, I think that's, you're really, it's, you're planting not just in the physical way, but also in the symbolic way and
yes,
for the
yes.
future.
Mm.
Can you give me an example of how you could, how you helped a family or a couple, because we were now talking about young people, but you also take care of young families.
Mm.
And what kind of, do you have emergencies or anything like that?
Yeah, there are times that we work with families, and domestic violence is one of those hard ones that we from time to time we work with. And we've been able to work with families, with the mums, particularly the mums, and hopefully the dads too. We never want to leave dads out, but to try and make a difference. So we've recently worked with the mum, and she's had a lot of domestic violence in her life, and she wouldn't really be involved in a whole lot of different activities, but we've managed to get her to come on board. And she has, it's been a hard road for her, but it's been really good because she now actually, when we have any, functions, she will put her hand up to come and help. So it's kind of a bit like that pay it forward, but we've not asked her to come and help. She's just wanted to do it because there's been so many changes in her life.
Yeah.
So for this in particular one, she chose to end her relationship, and keeping her, she's been able to sustain herself by the different things that she's been involved in.
Yeah, great.
Mm.
Pope Francis asked us to step out of our comfort zone. That's definitely what you're doing.
Yes.
And he asked us to go out, to meet with people, and to listen to them and share with them. I think that Te Ukaipō initiative is a great contribution to our society. And maybe some of our listeners might want to follow you, and who would like to follow Pope Francis' advice and join you and your team on a voluntary basis.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So if anybody's interested, it's the best thing is to contact us in the Mercy Spirituality Center, and we'll hand it over to you.
Yes, that would be great.
So I'll thank you very much, Cecily, for your information on Te Ukaipō Mercy Initiatives for Rangatahi. And I'm sure that your staff, you are really fit for mission. Pope Francis asked us very directly, are we Christian? Are we ready to be Christians full time, showing our commitment by word and deed? Let's think about it and act accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to support Te Ukaipō initiatives, you can contact us at the Mercy Spirituality Center. Our phone number is 09-638-6238. And just a little information about what is coming up. We have on the 26th of July, we have Sister Catherine Wilds Pickett, The Journey of Meditation. I interviewed Father Peter Murphy recently, and he explained about Christian meditation. And Sister Catherine's workshop will start at 9:30 a.m. and finishes at 4 p.m. on the 26th of July. And then on this 8th and 9th of August, Alexander Shire will offer a retreat with the topic Walking the Four-Path Christ Journey. Alexander Shire was my guest in the studio at the beginning of June. If you want to listen to our conversation on the radio, you can do so by going on the website of Radio FM 104.6 at www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. And you can check out the archived interview. And if you like to give feedback to the Muffin Talks, have a look, please send me an email at muffintalk840@gmail.com. And if you miss any of our programs, please check out the website www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk. Thank you, and listen to you again next week.